This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, February 2nd. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, need help deciding what to read or watch next? We'll find out how artificial intelligence can give you personalized recommendations, if you know how to ask. WSJ contributor Alexandra Samuel joins us. And then, just a few years ago, 23andMe was one of Silicon Valley's hottest startups. But the DNA testing company's valuation has crashed 98% from its $6 billion peak. WSJ reporter Rolf Winkler tells us what happened at 23andMe and what it will take to turn the company around. But first, there have never been more books to read, more TV and movies to watch, and more podcasts to listen to. But that can also mean that figuring out what to consume next can feel daunting. Luckily, AI can help. WSJ contributor Alexandra Samuel joins us now with more. Alex, what can AI offer that other recommendations can't?
We live in an era of abundant recommendations. You can ask your Facebook friends. Netflix tells you what to watch next. Every newspaper, every magazine has reviews for you. But the problem is all of those ratings and reviews are based on either your behavior on that one platform, as if Netflix is the only place you're ever going to watch a movie for the rest of your life, or they're based on everybody's preferences, what a columnist thinks anybody will enjoy. When you turn to AI for recommendations, you have the ability to get whatever it is you're looking for based on your preferences across all media and all platforms.
What are some of the services that can offer these kinds of recommendations that are not tied to a specific podcast, music, or movie platform?
For most people, the obvious go-to is going to be a chat-based AI platform like ChatGPT or Claude or possibly Bing or Bard. A really simple way to start that you can do on any AI platform is to say, hey, I really loved watching The Crown. Can you suggest some other historical dramas that I might enjoy? I have access to Amazon and Disney and Apple TV, so give me something on one of those. That's super simple. But you can get a little bit fancier. You can say, I think I'm in the mood for a new show. Can you ask me a few questions to help me figure out what I want to watch? And you turn the AI into an interviewer so that it asks you a series of questions. What do you feel like right now? What would be a show that you wish you could watch for the first time if you hadn't already watched all of it? And I'll even give the AI a set of questions like that and say, here are three questions I want you to ask me. Once I answer them, then recommend a show to me. And you can even say, you know, recommend something from 2024. Recommend something, but make sure it doesn't have any violence. Recommend something, but I only like shows where there's a dog.
So how has it actually gone? You've got this list. You watched something you've never seen before. Was it a hit?
I have watched a few shows that I would never have watched. I just watched this Australian TV show called Colin from Accounts, which was so funny. And then the other thing that has happened with the AI is it's reminded me of things that I knew about but never got around to, like Girls 5 Eva, which is this sort of mockumentary about middle-aged women who return to their showbiz career as the band. And so the effort of looking through all the reviews of all the latest shows, that habit is now pretty thoroughly replaced by the much easier option of just asking my little media concierge, what should I listen to next? What should I read next?
That was WSJ contributor Alexandra Samuel. Coming up, 23andMe raised about $1.4 billion. Why could it run out of money as soon as next year? We'll find out next after the break.
Fees. The F word in travel. With an HSBC Global Money account, you can drop fees from Acapulco to Zurich. That means no fees here.
Bonjour.
No fees here, howdy, And definitely no fees here. Pay no HSBC fees overseas with a global money account.
HSBC UK, opening up a world of opportunity. Available to HSBC UK customers with an eligible current account. Exclude some accounts such as the HSBC Basic Bank account. For mobile banking app users only, non-HSBC fees may apply.
Just 5 years ago, DNA testing company 23andMe was one of the hottest startups in Silicon Valley. It was founded on the idea that genetic tests can help us understand our health. And for a minute there, it seemed like everyone was taking those tests. But while CEO Ann Wojcicki has made some ambitious bets, the company is struggling to profit. WSJ reporter Rolf Winkler joins me now with more. Rolf, give us an overview of 23andMe now. How's the company doing?
They have big ambitions, but not a lot of money. So after all these years, one thing that 23andMe has not been able to do is profit. The DNA tests don't make money. And so of the $1.4 billion or so that they've raised through various rounds of venture capital and a SPAC deal they did in 2021, they've spent about 80% of it. And their stock today, the value of the company really is worth about $120, $130 million-ish, which is down from a peak of over $6 billion after they did that SPAC. And look, last year they had to do three rounds of layoffs, sold a subsidiary. They've really had to, in some ways, dial back their ambitions. But in other ways, Ann Wojcicki, she is a driven person with big vision. And as much as she's cut things, she's also still pursuing significant parts of this vision that are going to be difficult to pull off.
Yeah, tell us a bit more about CEO Ann Wojcicki and her background.
Ann Wojcicki has been with this company since its earliest days. She's a co-founder, and she is very quirky. She's incredibly charismatic, and she has a dream that she can remake medical care leading with genetic information. That's one of her visions. The other vision is she's collected this giant database of DNA samples from people and to use that to develop new drugs. She comes from the center of Silicon Valley. Her dad was twice the chair of the physics department at Stanford. Her mom taught journalism at Palo Alto High School. She bounced around hedge funds, private equity firms, but there was a unique bit of serendipity in her story, which was really the story of her family. A guy named Sergey Brin and Larry Page needed an office, needed a place to set up this new company they were calling Google, and they picked Susan Wojcicki's garage, Ann's older sister. Susan would go on to be an executive at Google and later CEO of YouTube. Ann met Sergey. They dated. Eventually, they got married. She became a celebrity. That's also how she found her way into 23andMe, oddly enough.
What are some of the other challenges that the company has encountered?
One challenge for the business is the core genetic testing product is interesting. It can tell you a lot of interesting stuff about your ancestry. And in some cases, for some people, life-altering information that can lead to life-saving doctor follow-ups if you have, for instance, a mutation that could lead to breast cancer. But that's a small number of people. For most people, it's a fun one-off. And once you've taken it, you have most of the information you want. Now, what they've tried to do is they've tried to hold back more of that information and give you additional like lifestyle advice based on your genetics in order to encourage you to subscribe. They want to basically make this a subscription product. The problem is it's not super compelling as a subscription product. And in fact, they haven't come anywhere close to hitting their target for the number of subscriptions they would sell. The other big challenge is drug development is incredibly expensive. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars and takes a long time. It can take 10 years to get a drug to market.
What has the company said about the current state of its business?
They said they're trying to focus on profitability. Before, it was a loss leader. They're going to focus on raising prices for their DNA tests. We're going to get all these samples. We're going to feed that database. It's going to help with drug development. Now, they're talking less about losing money as a loss leader, and let's just charge a price that will bring a profit with this product on its own. Before, what cost $99 today costs $150 to $230 or more. Plus, the subscription would be an additional $69 per year after that.
So 23andMe is struggling to be profitable. How typical is this for a Silicon Valley startup?
So many companies can look smart and grow really quickly when capital is easy to obtain from investors, and those investors are perfectly fine with you losing money. That's a recipe for appearing successful even though you're not really successful on your own. And then what happens is, what happens when the money runs out? Interest rates rose a lot in the past few years, and that took the wind out of the sales of risky companies in a lot of respects, particularly in biotech. Right now, small drug development stocks, small biotechs, they're out of favor. There's a lot of them that are trading at effectively a zero valuation, and they've been swept up in that to some degree.
That was our reporter, Rolf Winkler. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Alex Osola. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Catherine Millsop. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are the deputy editors, and Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back this afternoon with our TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.